Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone to our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Sterling. Today is July 1, 2017, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us either live right now or on our downloads. It is very interesting that we have just this last week been notified by Blog Talk Radio that their metrics have changed. They are they're doing a lot more in-depth statistical analysis of programs, and we are very grateful that you have helped us become. You've given us some encouragement, and it is a wonderful thing. Won't go into that too much. I will say, though, that our websites are up on the chat room. I will put them there, and our WordPress website at spiritoftruthministry.net has passed a milestone. We now have 14,013 people who have registered, and that is, I think, 20 from yesterday. So that's really not too bad. We also understand that many of you, quite a lot of you, during the week, when we look at the statistics and the metrics, you're downloading significantly on Mondays, which I find fascinating. We have a show on Friday on Sabbath, and then Sunday comes, and then all of a sudden we have a significant number of downloads on Monday.
That's because that's where their work computers are.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Hey, but anyway, you can.
Of course, also someone could have listened and said, "Oh, this so and so needs to hear this,"
yeah,
and tell them, and then they would.
And they just keep going and going and going. So, we will get started here in a minute. Oh, it looks like Linda.
Oh, good morning, John and Linda.
Good morning. We will be starting here in a minute. Let's have prayer. Father and Son, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we honor your names, and we seek to serve you through our obedience to your commands. And those commands are indeed the Ten Commandments and the words of Jesus that he brought in testimony from the Father. As it says in Revelation 12:17, those are the two distinguishing features of those who are in the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, Father, that we will honor your names today, the names of Elohim, as we study to learn truth. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Morning.
Good morning, Larry. And good morning, Michael Mibayo, sitting over there.
Morning.
So, good morning, Rick. What have you got for us today?
Well, you know, we've been speaking of the judgment, taking a look at that. As I've said before, it's a subject that really here anywhere, you know, particularly since Paul has said that those who believe in God and his Son have gone right past judgment. Kind of like, you know, Monopoly. And I remember that side of the Monopoly board where you went to the yellow properties. Marvin Garden,
oh, yeah.
That. And that right on the corner, it said, go to jail, go directly to jail. Do not pass go, do not collect $200.
And that wasn't known as grace.
In any stretch of the imagination. If you think that you are going straight to glory land without having to account for your behavior, your actions while here on earth, you're going to have to think again.
There's that word again that we used last week.
Think.
Sorry, but it's important.
The Son of God had a huge following. Now, what I mean by a following is not people who were holding to his teaching, who were changing their lives in accordance to his instructions, and they were saying, we are followers of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. No, he had a huge following of people who wanted to be present for every miracle that he would do because they wanted to see a miracle.
So that's following on Facebook?
It is.
You just want to get notified of something interesting.
Exactly.
Happens. Otherwise, it's a big nuisance.
And they were hoping for something really outstanding.
By the way, I just thought of something. That concept is more like on Facebook where you like something but don't share it. They just wanted to go. They liked it. They liked what they were seeing, and it was entertaining. It was a great show. But at that point, they were not willing to post that on their Facebook page. No, not worth sharing.
But many of them felt kind of sorry for him because he was suffering ridicule. And as desperately as the religious leaders were trying to humiliate him, they noticed that it always seemed like the humiliation ended up
on their side,
on the side of the spiritual religious leaders. Mm. But his message was so different. Yesterday, we talked about the teachings that had been formed from generation to generation, where the law of God, first five books of our Bible, were so interpreted by man that God couldn't even recognize them as what he said anymore.
Jeremiah 8:8.
And so the people felt sorry for him because he was a nice man, you know, and he was doing these miracles. And even though he may not be the Son of God, even though he probably was the Messiah, because he certainly wasn't acting in a kingly way, and he was making no attempt or effort to identify himself as the king of Israel. They thought, well, he's a good man. My dad, you know, as I've said, was a minister. And he had experience with an elderly lady who was a little strange. She rode a bicycle, that was her means of transportation. And one thing he said, that she wore no socks. I remember her I remember seeing her when I was a kid. She identified herself as the second Mrs. Eve. And we wondered who the first Mrs. Eve was. We were afraid to ask because it was probably the wife of Adam. And she was a little, she was definitely a little strange. And she would call the talk show, radio talk show program in the city there where we lived, Bakersfield. And my dad heard her on a talk show once calling in. He recognized mm-hmm. her voice. And after the radio host, you know, said, well, what do you want to say? What do you have to say? And she said, have you looked down a manhole lately?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what's down a manhole, especially when on the cover it says sewer. But my dad was doing a funeral for kind of a nondescript man who didn't seem to have any family, didn't have any family at the funeral. Really didn't have any few people who attended his funeral. My dad was giving the funeral, of course, because the man was a member of his church. But the second Mrs. Eve showed up. And my dad was thinking, okay. Well, it turns out that this woman knew this man back, way back in the olden days. And when I say the olden days, like the 20s, I guess this man was in minstrels. And he played the violin. And the woman, the second Mrs. Eve, got up, took the violin, and she said, I am going to play the old rugged cross, the first and the third verses. And she played it. Amazing. Here is the Son of God, and the people think he's just a little bit off his rocker, but oh man, can he entertain with the miracles. How can any regular, normal person do miracles that he can do? But his teaching, it's really not in line with the experts and the educated elite and those who have the doctorate of law. And so they were at the great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Turn to John chapter 7. After this, Jesus stayed in Galilee. John chapter 7, starting with verse 1.
Okay.
Jesus stayed in Galilee. Why? Because he could not stay in Judea. Because the Jews were out to kill him. As the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles drew near, his brothers said to him, why not leave this place and go to Judea? And let your disciples see the works you are doing. That's works. Miracles, by the way, yeah. Not what you're teaching, the miracles. If a man wants to be known, he does not do things in secret. Since you are doing all this, you should let the whole world see. Not even his brothers, in fact, had faith in him. You know why they were encouraging him to go to Judea and demonstrate some miraculous work.
They wanted to get him killed.
Yep. They wanted this blemish on the family's good name to be done away with. You won't hear that this anywhere else, but yet here it is right here in the Bible. Jesus answered, "The right time for me has not come yet." He is speaking of his death. "But any time is the right time for you. The world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I give evidence that its ways are evil." Now, when he says the world, is he talking about the pagan nations, the heathens, all of those ranks? Those are the evil nations. Or is he speaking of the Jews, his people?
His people.
When he says the world cannot hate you, but it does hate me, I can tell you that it seems like the people of the nations around Israel were more receptive to him than the people in Israel. We have the Greeks who asked Philip to go ask Jesus to talk to them. We have the Syrophoenician woman who asked that the Son of God would heal her daughter, cast out the demons. And he said, "But I've only come to the house of Israel." And he ends up saying to her, "I've not seen such great belief in all of Israel." When he says, "The world cannot hate you," he's not talking about those who live in their lands. He's talking about those who you live among. He's talking about your church members. "But it does hate me." You go, "Wait a minute. No. My church does not hate Jesus Christ. We pray to Jesus Christ. We sing about Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus Christ. We promote Jesus Christ. He lives in our heart. He comes to our church."
Lip service.
Either that or which Jesus?
You remember the question I asked couple of 3 weeks ago? When you get your day in court where the decision is either not guilty, eternal life, or guilty, eternal death, and that's it, there's no in between, there's no, "Well, we'll give you a little more grace, you can demonstrate, you know, that you've got it now, and then we'll delay your decision to sometime in the future." But you're standing there in front of the Father, and he asks you one question. And this one question determines whether you go to eternal life or whether you go to eternal death. This one question that you must answer. Why did you not follow the teachings of my son? Why did you choose to follow another's teaching? Another who was telling a lie, teaching a lie, leading you astray, keeping you in darkness. Why did you choose that teaching? What are you going to say? Well, it was all about love and grace and all those good things, those good, you know, warm, fuzzy feelings. And this is what the Father will say. You rejected the teaching of my son, therefore you rejected my son. You reject my son, you reject me. You reject me, you reject life.
You reject the Holy Spirit.
Wow. See, this is serious, and people need to realize that they can't just coast along in the warm, fuzzy world that they have created for themselves, thinking that they've already bypassed judgment. There is no judgment for those who believe, and that's what Paul says. Last time I talked about the two witnesses. The two witnesses will stand with you in court and testify to the truth about you. One is the testimony, the Ten Commandments, the testimony. And the Ten Commandments say, well, the Ten Commandments can't speak. The Ten Commandments can testify. They stand there in court, and if you say, but I am not under that, that law can't save me. Go right there in Galatians. It's very clear. Go into Romans, where there's no law, there's no violation, God. I'm not violating anything because I am not under that law. I am under grace. And the other witness. The other witness is the Son of God. And he says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before the Father. But if you do not acknowledge me, well, what does he mean acknowledge? Does he mean he exists? I know he exists. Acknowledge is to say, I acknowledge his teaching, and that is what I follow. So the Son of God will say to the Father, this person, I don't know who they are. Paul, who is already over there in chains, is saying, oh, they're my follower. Come on over here and join me. I hope that you understand the seriousness of this matter. The devil does not want you to be serious about salvation. He wants you to believe you are already saved. You're already amongst the people of God enjoying eternal life. The world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I give evidence that its ways are evil. I give evidence. He is a witness. Use as his evidence that the world is evil, the law of God, the testimony. Go up to the festival yourself. I am not going to this festival because for me, the time is not ripe yet. Hmm. Having said that, he stayed behind in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went up as well, but quite privately, without drawing attention to himself. At the festival, the Jews were on the lookout for him. "Where is he?" they said. People stood in groups whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others, "No, he is leading people astray." Spoke about him openly for fear of the Jews. That's the religious leaders. When the festival was half over, Jesus went to the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished and said, "How did he learn to read? How did he learn to read?" Well, that's interesting. He has not been taught.
By them.
He has not been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not from myself. It comes from the one who sent me. And if anyone is prepared to do his will, he will know whether my teaching is from God or whether my doctrine is his own. When a man's doctrine is his own, he's hoping to get honor for himself. But when he is working for the honor of one who sent him, then he is sincere and by no means an imposter. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law." Ouch.
Yeah.
You know,
He's saying this to a group of people who believed in all their heart that they were taking the law.
Yep.
"Why do you want to kill me?"
Wow.
The crap.
And just, and I think more to that question that, that's something that people can gloss over too. I think Jesus meant that. He meant to ask, to have them, "Listen, you have to decide why you're going to kill me. Your decision to kill me is based on something. What is it?" You see? And when you recognize what that is, maybe you'll change. We do the same thing. We kill Jesus when we say, "I am going to accept the words of Paul or anyone else that suits my doctrinal theology, my theology, rather than the words of Jesus Christ." We're killing him again.
Well, it's not so much killing him again, but we are shutting him up.
We're shutting him up.
We're saying his words.
What I'm saying is we're killing his words.
His words. His words have no meaning. For me.
Yeah.
His words are words for the Jews, and I'm not a Jew, so his words don't mean anything to me. I am under grace.
His words are words of life, and I prefer the words of death.
The crowd replied. The crowd replied, "You are mad." Now, they're not talking about, you know, like rage. They're a crazy person. A lunatic.
Mine says call it, he has a demon.
"Who wants to kill you?" Jesus answered, one work I did, and you are all surprised by it. This is ordered you to practice circumcision. Not that it began with him. It goes back to the patriarchs. And you circumcise on the Sabbath. Now, if a man can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses is not broken, why are you angry with me for making a man whole and complete on the Sabbath? Do not keep judging according to appearances. Let your judgment be according to what is right. What is true?
The law of righteousness.
Meanwhile, some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they want to kill? There he is, speaking freely, and they have nothing to say to him. Can it be true? The authority Messiah? Yet we all know where he comes from. But when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. Then as Jesus taught in the temple, he cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I come from. Yet I have not come of myself. No, there is one who sent me, and I really come from him. And you do not know him. But I know him, because I have come from him. And it was he who sent me. They would have arrested him then, but because his time had not yet come, no one laid a hand on him. Verse 27. On the last day, the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood there and cried out. Yes, thank you. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me. Let the man come and drink who believes in me. As Scripture says, from his breast shall flow fountains of living water. He was speaking of the Spirit which those who believed in him were to receive, for there was no Spirit as yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Several people who had listened said, surely he must be the prophet. And some said, he is the Messiah. But others said, would the Messiah be from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah must be descended from David and come from the town of Bethlehem? So the people could not agree about him. Some would have liked to arrest him. But no one actually laid hands on him. The police went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, what you brought him? The police replied, there has never been anybody who has spoken like him. So the Pharisees answered, you've been led astray as well. Any of the authorities believed in him? Any of the Pharisees? This rabble knows nothing about the law. They are damned. One of them, Nicodemus, the same man who had come to Jesus earlier, said to them, but surely the law does not allow us to pass judgment on a man without giving him a hearing and discovering what he is about. To this they answered, are you a Galilean too? Go into the matter and see for yourself. Prophets do not come out of Galilee.
That shows you what they knew about his birth.
Mm-hmm. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to start reading with verse 10. This too, he said to me, do not keep the prophecies of this book a secret. Do not keep the prophecies of this book a secret, because the time is close. But hey, this book can be interpreted in any number of ways, right?
Sure.
No, it means one thing for this group and another thing for that group. And this group over here didn't even think that it has any relevance in reality at all. It's just kind of an account of good and evil struggling throughout time. And this other group over here sees it as a devotional. This book, Revelation, gives those who are in charge of preparing the bride the information they need to prepare her so that she is ready to meet her bridegroom. Meanwhile, this is verse 11, let the sinner go on sinning. Go on, and the unclean continue to be unclean. Let those who do good go on doing good, and those who are holy continue to be holy. Very soon now, I shall be with you again. Let that sink in. Very soon now, I shall be with you again. Who does he come to first?
The faithful one servant and his fellow servants.
And they are what?
First fruits.
They are first fruits, but they are what? Their character is what?
They're righteous.
They are holy.
Right. Revelation.
They are holy.
Revelation 14, 1 to 5, among others.
And we can read in Revelation chapter 3. Now, this is in the same book, and this is going, this is sequential. Remember, the 144,000 are first fruits. The 144,000 are holy. Remember, the 144,000 have no lie in their mouth, for they are holy. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. There are a few in Sardis, it is true, who have kept their robes from being dirtied, and they are fit to come with me dressed in white. And then verse 12, those who prove victorious I will make to pillars in the sanctuary of my God, and they will stay there forever. I will inscribe on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God in the heavens, and my own new name as well. Back to Revelation 22. What does the Son of God need before he can be with us again? He needs some holy people. You remember we've gone through the study in Revelation chapter 24, 42 to 51. Matthew chapter 24, 42 to 51. Talks about the faithful and wise bondservant and the fellow bondservants. The faithful and wise bondservant is feeding his fellow bondservants, giving them their food at the proper time. What is the proper time? The time when the Son of God returns to be with us again. The food is his testimony, his words. His words confirm the validity of the law. The words of Paul exclude the law. When he says we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. Very soon now I shall be with you again, bringing the reward to be given to every man according to what he deserves. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Happy are those who will have washed their robes clean so that they might have the right to feed on the tree of life and come through the gates into the city. These others must stay outside. Dogs. And dogs is not being literally a dog. They are, dogs are the It's not a good thing for a human to be called. Fortune tellers, fornicators, and murderers, and adulterers, idolaters, and everyone of false speech and false life. Your Bible may say everyone who loves and practices lying.
Yep.
False speech. What is false speech?
Lies.
It's a lie. What is false life?
Same thing.
What is false life?
You're not. I'm a boy.
Well, what does false mean?
Not true.
Not true. What does life mean? What this is saying is living a lie or living in a lie.
Yeah.
So they have accepted lies and are living their life in accordance with the lies. Mm-hmm. And what's the outcome of lies? Are lies going to be with us forever? Even in the earth made new, there will be lies? Mm-mm. What are going to happen to lies?
They're going to be thrown in the lake of fire.
They are going to be thrown in the lake of fire, exactly.
And if you have lies in you, you get thrown in the lake of fire.
If you are holding to and practicing a lie with even the best of intentions, all lies and liars are going into the fire. That's the truth. If you don't want to go into the fire, you better learn what the truth is. And learning the truth is easy.
It is easy.
And by the way, just going, hearkening back to the earlier discussion of Jesus' brothers having him, you know, tempting him to go to the Feast of Booths out in the open. You see, that was what they were saying that he needed to do, is to go out in the open. And Jesus said, you see, there have been several people, I've talked with them, that have said, well, Jesus lied right there. He said he was not going to go, and then he went. No, he did not lie. He said, I'm not going to go out in the open where people can get to me. My time is not yet.
Yeah.
He never said that he wasn't going to go in secret.
He was responding to the invitation that his brothers gave him. And he knew what their motivation was.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the only reason they wanted him to go with them to the feast was that the Jews were bound to kill him. That's why he was in the Galilee region.
Bound and determined to kill him.
They were going to kill him. That's why when he was there and was teaching in the temple police had been sent to arrest him. In fact, they had given instructions. If you see him at the feast, you bring him before us right now. And they go back and say, no one is taught like this man. He doesn't, just, he's amazing. And they, that even makes them even more, when the police won't even arrest him because he has amazed them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they say, this guy has some powerful witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
True. That is exactly what they thought. They were dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone of false speech and false life. Remember I talked about when I saw the dead standing before the throne,
mm-hmm.
the great and small?
Mm-hmm.
The dead standing? Isn't that an oxymoron? The devil is dead. But he's very active in the world. But he has an irrevocable death sentence. So he does not have life, even though he is alive. We can have life, though we are living in a world of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
All evil is dead.
Mm-hmm.
When the living die, they don't die dead, they die asleep. They fall asleep. And the living who have fallen asleep, you know who wakes them up from their sleep?
Jesus.
The voice of the Master.
The Son of God.
Yeah.
He told Mary, I am the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
I am the resurrection and the life. She knew that. Or Martha, I think it was Martha, who went out to meet him when her brother had been in the tomb for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've come to wake him up. And she said, well, I know that he will come back to life at the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 16, Revelation 22. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to make these revelations to you, for the sake of the assemblies. I am of David's line, the root of David, and the bright star of the morning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who listens answer, come. Then let all who are thirsty come. All who want it may have the water of life and have it free. This is my solemn warning to all who hear the prophecies in this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him every plague mentioned in this book. If anyone cuts anything out of the prophecies in this book, God will cut off his share of the tree of life and of the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who guarantees these revelations repeats his promise, I shall indeed be with you soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then John closes. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. He's not talking about the grace that Paul is talking. He's talking about graciousness.
Yeah. And by the way, that word in Greek is Greek. In Strong's is G5485. It says graciousness. That is the first definition. Then there's others. But you don't see the word singular. The singular word grace is way down at the bottom, and joy, liberty, pleasure, thanks, and worthiness come after.
So what has the Son of God confirmed about this prophecy that has been titled the Revelation of John?
It is incredibly important, and we must know what it says.
And what else? What it tells us quite plainly is that all the information we need to know is in it. God is not coming to give a prophet some more information about the end. All the information that those who are alive at the time the events in this book reveal and describe have been given. The faithful and wise bondservant is feeding his fellow bondservants the food at the proper time. And what does it say happens?
When the master comes,
it will be good for that bondservant if his master finds him at this employment when he returns. And that goes right along with Revelation chapter 1.
Verse 1 and to 3.
Verse 1 through 3, particularly verse 3. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him. If they treasure all that it says, because the time is close. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him. That is the end time prophet. The Elijah, the one in Matthew 17, where the master says to his three disciples on the way down from the Mount of Transfiguration, when the question is asked, well, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And their master says to them, indeed, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him.
So what you're saying, and what it appears to be, is that him in that verse is a singular individual. It is not anyone who just happens to read this out loud to somebody.
It is just as it has been foretold and revealed by the Son of God. The faithful and wise bondservant who knows the time is near. All of this, it all says, because the time is close, I will be with you again soon. It's all there. People say, well, it's been 2,000 years. You know, how close can close be? How near can near be? Well, what you must realize, what we all must realize, is that he is not coming to set us straight, to tell us that we believe in lies and we need to accept the truth. He's not coming for that. He is coming when there are enough people who have rejected the lies, who have accepted the truth, who have completed the sanctification process, and they are ready to immediately go with him and to work on behalf of the kingdom of Elohim. So why has it been 2,000 years? Because Paul has experienced a tremendously successful run, and no one stood up and said, Paul is a liar. In fact, they embrace the gospel of grace and love and run with it. It has overtaken all denominations.
What could possibly be wrong with a gospel of love?
And grace.
And grace.
Because it is lawless. Where there is no law, that's lawless.
Yeah.
Where there is no law, there's no violation. That is a lawless gospel. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him. If they treasure all that it says, because the time is close.
When you get a chance, go to Matthew 24 and read verse 11 and 12. All right. Thank you, Rick. That was fabulous. We encourage our listeners to go to our Blog Talk Radio website, download anything that you need from there. We also encourage you to join us again next Friday for another edition of the Bible on the Bible, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry,
This is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. We'll see you later.